Let them say yes, that's all. Let them give in to the Holy Spirit. I thank you. Take the message and do what you want with it. In Jesus' name I pray. God's children said,
amen.
Total agreement. I want to thank you so much for coming, being with me. Pastor, can you put this up a little further? Pretty soon I'll be in the back if I keep moving this thing. Yeah, that's it, Pastor. Thank you so much.
Is that okay?
That's all good. Thanks a lot. Yes, it is. Pastor led me wrong today. I think I know the direction, you know? And so I told him yesterday, I said, you know one thing? Give me another week. I could drive here. I got this thing, you know what I'm saying? Bring it on. I got this thing. So I said, so we get in the car tonight? And he said, all right, Sister Carol, you said something to me, you know. I said, oh, yeah, make a left-hand turn at the stop sign. When, you know, we get to the stop sign. I said, make a left-hand turn, Pastor. He said, all right. He made a left-hand turn. Said, I'm trying to remember everything, you know. Made a left-hand turn. We went on down the road. And the thing was, see, I'm sitting there watching him. I'm looking. So I said, all right, we get to a certain point. I said, okay, you're going to go through the light. He went through the light. And I said, we went down another stretch of road, and then I said, okay, this was at Interstate 5. All right, make a right there. Oh, are you sure? I said, yeah, that's 5. Just make that right. I was talking very authoritative. Just make that right and go on the road. So we went somewhere else. We're going down Hot 5, and we're going and going. And then, then Pastor led the child astray. I'm looking like this, you know. And so we get down to, I don't even know the name of the street. And I said, so he's going, there's a right way, and then there's that left. And he's in this, just like this. I said, yeah, make a left there. And he quickly moves the car to the right. I said, Pastor, you led me wrong. You led me wrong. But we'll pray for the pastor. That's okay. The text is, I better be careful, because I'm in his house. The text we're going to look at Matthew 14. Matthew 14, 3 through 12. And of course, you know, you have the comparison text over in Mark 6, 17 through 29. So, you know, we can look back and forth, but it'll be between both of those. And of course, the sermon is also including thoughts from the spirit of prophecy, desire of ages. The key words that it will be the core of everything of the meeting of the sermon tonight is Matthew 14, verse 12. Who has that? Anybody, everybody. Matthew 14, 12. Can we read it together out loud? And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. The last 1, 2, 3, 4 words are what are going to be the crux of the meeting. So what are those last 4 words? Went and told Jesus. Okay, good. So John the Baptist, we know the story, but we're just going to work with it. We're going to unpack just a few things so then we can get out. He was the first person to preach about Christ. That was Jesus' cousin. Mary was pregnant at the time with Jesus, and Elizabeth was pregnant at the time with John the Baptist. Now here he was, sitting in prison. John the Baptist, he was in prison for telling the truth. You know, who knows, this may happen to us. Are we going to stand firm, tell the truth? You know, there's a lot of lying today. You wonder, what is the truth? Are you lying to me? We hear it all the time. It's a very natural thing to lie. And children are even taught to lie. You know, there's little things, little sayings. A person may owe bills, And here comes the bill collector at the door, or even calling on the telephone, and the mother will say, "Tell them I'm not home." They're training them to lie. And of course, the child is innocent, and they'll say, "My mommy says she's not home." You know? Yeah, my mommy says she's not home. She's not here. Lie. Lies come so easy, but lying lips are a sinful to the Lord. So here he's sitting in prison because he told, and he's in Herod's prison. Herod had listened to John, the spirit of prophecy tells us. He had listened intently to John. He believed what John says, Sister Marsh. He believed it. And she says that when John would call for repentance, he trembled under it. He was being convicted. Holy Spirit was talking to Herod. "Hey, man, this is me. I want your soul. I want you." He would tremble under it. He was hardening his heart. Holy Spirit speaks today. He says, "Follow me." I don't know. I can't do it. Same Holy Spirit that had made Herod tremble under conviction for the call to repentance, the same Holy Spirit is moving on people today. I feel an urge. I feel something's telling me I should do. That's the Holy Spirit. And thank God for the Holy Spirit still working in your life. Because once that voice is quiet, that's it. And John just got into Herod's face and said, "You're living in adultery, you know that." That's what it was. He said, "You're living in adultery. You know good and well you should not have your brother Philip's wife." And that's why John was sitting in prison, the one that heralded Christ's coming. Thing about it, though, Herod knew it was the truth. But Herod was scared of his wife. That man was a born chicken. What kind of king, what kind of leader is a chicken? Oh, chicken leader. We've said, if you're a leader, if you think you're the leader and no one's following you, you're just taking a walk. He was a chicken. Herodias was an evil woman. She couldn't get to John herself, so she had a scheme. She had a plan stuff. The president was scared of his wife, just like Ahab, Jezebel, chicken. And the messenger of the Lord said, she knew she couldn't get to Herod. She could not convince her. She couldn't convince her because he was not his wife. So she strategized. She strategized. And it's the same thing that Satan does with us. He strategizes. How can I make Carol trip today? How can I snag her? How can I get her so upset that she's gonna cuss? They're Christians who cuss. That's all. He strategizes us. He strategizes to take us down. Also, there's that text in is it 3 John, beloved? I wish above all things that what is that one? That you prosper and be in, even as a soul that prospers. Sister White says, and you know, when I say Sister White, it's all coming from God because I believe it. You know, I believe it. She says he strategizes to ruin our health. He plans these sicknesses that come upon us. But yet there's sweet Jesus who will intervene because he can't go but so far. Thank you, Jesus. So she strategized to get Herod to get John. Here's John sitting in jail. there's a word she used, the Bible uses, that she had a quarrel. She had a quarrel. I think that's the word. I think it comes over in Mark. She had Mark 6:19. She had a quarrel about against John. And when you look in the original, she had an inward grudge against John. That thing festered. She had an inward grudge. And we talked about forgiveness and unforgiveness the other night, didn't we? If we don't give that junk, that thing to God, it's got to come out some way. And her way was, I got to kill me some John the Baptist. So how am I going to do it? Poor John sitting in jail. Doubt has started to come into his head. You know, his boys came to see him. They had access to go see John, go visit him. And poor John was sitting there, and he sent word back to Jesus, do we look for somebody else? Because first of all, my cousin didn't come to get me out of jail. He ain't putting up any bail money. He, what? Doesn't he know there's little blood between us? He hadn't even spoken to the judge about me. He's not even pleading my case. And that's what happens, isn't it? Nobody cares about me. No one thinks about me. Doubt will start to seep in. Sometimes we think it's not important to be together in church. Oh no, I can ride out this Christian journey alone. You can't be a lone ranger and serve Christ. We need each other. We need to brush shoulders with each other. You got to encourage me. You don't know where I am. It's not such a thing as a lone ranger Christian. That's what the Bible says. Don't forsake the assembling of come together. I don't care what you're doing. Come to God's people. You hear doubt set in. And you know, the doubt starts setting in, and Satan has a ball with this thing. And here comes his boys, and they round there saying, you know, man, Jesus is out there doing stuff. He claims he's a Messiah. Why didn't he come in here and get you out? He doesn't care. And John, he kept his faith in Christ, even though there were doubts in his head. All the while, the doubt will start and will turn to disbelieving. That's why he sent the word back. Are you the one, or shall we look for another? Is this the right church, or should I just stay where I am? I mean, this church has too many no's about it. And then plus, it's worshiping on a day doesn't make sense. Everybody else is doing the Sunday thing. Why just can't we just go along? Because we're a peculiar people, because God didn't do just go along thing. He says, I gave you that particular day. It takes a lot to stand up for Jesus. It takes a whole lot. And here was John sitting there. And all his boys went back, disbelieving, this doubt. His posse is speaking doubt to him. And sometimes we speak doubt to each other. Sometimes we're guilty of this same disease. We complain about the carpeting. I think they should have had a red fall ice. No. No one consulted me. And I don't like the way the pews sit. It should be a little straighter for my back. You know, we have this disease, you know. I doubt if the pastor knows what he's doing. He doesn't look like he has a lot of intelligence. He's too young. You know what I'm saying? This is true, isn't it? This is true. The why disease. Why didn't they pick me to be the one to be on the committee? I'm a businesswoman. I'm a businessman. I know how to calculate stuff. I've been out in that business world forever. Why didn't they do that? Why are they overlooking put this Why disease? Why do I have to return tithe? Yeah, people do this. They do this. Why? God's rich. He says, the word says, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. What does he need with my little 10%? No, that's because it's showing your loyalty to God. It's showing that he's my creator. He's the one that controls my life. It's the why disease. Why do I have to be baptized? Well, because if you're loving some Jesus, you're following his example. Jesus was pure. He was holy. Everything Jesus did, we should be doing. He says, just follow what I say. But why? Because I said it. Because I said it. Jesus said it, period. That's it. Jesus understands, but he says, follow me. Just follow me. The why disease, and it's contagious. Why did Sister So-and-so bring that casserole to potluck? She knows I don't like cheese. Why? Why? Well, don't eat the wine. And keep your mouth shut. You don't have to eat it. Oh, this cheese, well, praise the Lord. Thank you for making the cheese. Thank you, Jesus. The why? I'm a caterer. You know, it's a why disease. We need to erase that junk. Run away the king. So here she is, Herodias. Her husband's scared of him. She has an inward grudge against John because he called out my sin and everything. Got it. He's going to have a birthday. He has a birthday, we can celebrate, we know we're going to be drinking, we're going to be feasting. I got it. And sure enough, all his lords came in. They drank themselves till they were silly. Wine is a strong drink and it's a mocker. It'll make you look foolish. My grandfather was a drunk. I hated to see my grandfather stagger down the street coming home. And the kids would laugh. They'd make fun. That was my mother's father. Drank himself to death. But let me tell you about sweet Jesus. Before my grandfather died of that liver disease, my grandfather got it straight and he came to the Lord and went on to die. That's sweet Jesus, but just think what it could have been, you know? Wine is a mocker, make you say and act things, and that's why Herod said when she had strategized to bring her daughter out, little young thing, I don't know how old she was, Pastor, you know, young little thing. Sister White says she was in the flush of her youth. In all courtesy to everyone, she was just beginning to develop. He says she was voluptuous. She was beautiful. And mama used girl to entice Herod and his drunken bums so her inward grudge could be satisfied. And that's what she did. She danced. She wiggled. She squirmed. She did everything. This is nothing. We think, oh, look at the stuff that's happening today. It happened in the court, okay? Happened in a court with Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay, it happened, and it's still happening. Half clad and everything, and Herod's so drunk, he sees four of her. And the Lord's all drunk, and here, what mother? You know, we have that program ended now. The mothers are still doing it. And of course, Herod, hey, baby. Anything you want, baby, anything you want. Half of my kingdom. He didn't even remember it the next day. And she goes back and he's, mother, he says, what are, mother, not just mother. And mother asked for the head of John the Baptist. Girl didn't even know what she was asking for. And she goes back, old drunk Herod, what is it, baby? What? I'll give you the half of my kingdom. Just what do you want, baby? Hick, hick, bring me my drink. I want the head of John the Baptist brought on a charger. I bet she almost sobered up. got that right. You got that right. Because he knew John was right. He knew John. He had sold his soul out. Of course, they went and beheaded John. Sister White says the angels were always with John. So here comes the disease question. Why didn't he save them? Why didn't? God knew. God knows everything. Why didn't it? God knew. The things we shouldn't even question God about. We don't have the right to question God. Angels were constantly talking to John, Sister Tina, constantly talking to him, revealing the future about Christ. Those angels could have bit. And so they brought the head on charger. The Bible says, and his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And disciples came. They took up the headless bodies. It's just a corpse. They didn't even have the decency to give them the head. They took up the body and buried it. And what did they do? They went and told Jesus. A lot of stuff goes on in our lives. Things that we don't like. Things that we don't understand. The text, I have it written here, 1 Peter 4:12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye shall be glad also with exceeding joy. Let's not think it strange some of the stuff that's coming down on us. Christ knows it. If you don't like stuff, go tell Jesus. If you don't like what's going on, go tell Jesus about it. If you don't like what's happening in the church, go tell Jesus about it. They went and they told Jesus. Things are hard in your life, get up in your mate's face, tell Jesus about it. Things aren't working in your marriage, tell Jesus about it. Jesus, tell Jesus. He knows all about it. But does she whistle? Does Jesus care? Yes, he cares. I know he cares. He's got our back, someone said. Tell Jesus. Statement says God never leads his children otherwise than they would choose to be led. If we could see the end, that's right, we would say, you're right, Jesus. Tell Jesus. Getting ready to go into prayer. All to Jesus I surrender. Some of us sitting here this evening, we've got doubts. We got the why disease. Why do I have to follow him the way the Bible says? Because Jesus said so. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I've paved the way for you. I understand your doubts. I understand your ifs. I understand why this, but I didn't come for you to understand me. I came for you to follow me. You don't have to know everything about Jesus. You don't have to know everything about what's going on and how everything runs. Follow me. Let let Jesus erase the doubts. Whatever the doubt is that you have, listen to the Holy Spirit. I need to know more. More about Jesus is all you need to know. I need to know how this, all you need to know is I must follow Jesus and let him handle everything. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. You're worried about your children? Give them to Jesus. I give my two boys to Jesus every day, and I thank him. You're worried about what kind of decision you must make as far as your relationship is with the Lord? Surrender it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The Lord's not going to lead you wrong, but give your butts to the Lord. Give them to the Lord. I need to know more. Give your I need to know more to Jesus. Make the decision to follow him. If it's just to a special prayer, get into that watery tub and be baptized so all the buts and the ifs and the whys and everything will be erased and you come up a new person in Christ Jesus. That's all that's needed. That's all he asks. It's just that simple. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. Now we need to be praying. So please pray because, and the Holy Spirit is telling someone to come on up here. You've been fighting it long enough. Let Jesus erase the fight. You've been braced and tense. You know you need to make the decision. Stop your stuttering. Let Jesus set you free by making the decision. So let's pray. Give in to the Holy Spirit. I know I need to be baptized. I got a lot of questions, Lord. Come anyway, my child. Listen to the Spirit. Lay aside yourself. Lay aside your doubts. Lay aside. And make the decision, follow him. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. The call is there. Who's going to respond tonight? Some responded last night. Who's coming tonight? I say, I'm coming, Lord. Coming with a whole lot of questions, but I'm going to follow you. I'm going to surrender all this. If you're here, just raise your hand or slip out and just come on up to me. This is baptism. This is rebaptism. And this is repentance because we're on our way to the kingdom. Let the Holy Spirit talk to you. I'm going to be quiet. Let the Spirit talk to you. Who's coming? Who's coming? Who has not come? But you need to come. Just raise your hand and I'll just gently help you run up to the altar. Who's here that needs to come? Who's here? You didn't come last night. It's fine. Someone needs to come tonight. You hear the Spirit speaking to you. All you got to do is raise your hand. I'll come to you. Who is it tonight? Lord's calling you. Don't let him down. Don't let him down. He says, I love you. I want you with me in heaven. This is not your home. I've got something better for you. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, we thank you. There's someone that still needs to come. I don't know who it is, Father. Bring them, Lord. Let them struggle until they give up to you, until they surrender. And I thank you, Father. I have decided I'm going to follow Jesus. If that's your decision, follow Jesus. You're baptized, you're not baptized, you want to be baptized, you want to study. Stand with me. I have decided. I've surrendered myself to the Lord. Want to surrender? Stand. I surrender everything. I'm surrendering it all. But those who have yet to totally surrender, Lord, I'm praying that you will not give them peace until they come. This is not their home. You've already paid for everything on Calvary. And they belong to you. Help them to realize it. You belong to me. I created you. And then I died for you, so I bought you back. Come on back to me. Come on to me. So you can either come now, call the pastor, just tell him. But don't linger. Don't linger. Even those who are online and listening, don't linger. Come to Jesus while there's still time. He loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Come. Thank you, Father. We're going to tell Jesus. We're going to always tell Jesus. We want to be able to tell you face to face, thank you. Don't leave us. You said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Bring us and bring those. We thank you for this precious meeting this evening. Thank you for the hope of heaven, dear Lord. And most important, thank you for Calvary. Thank you for the blood that was shed. Thank you, and all God's children said, amen. Amen.